Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby, and this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we felt duty bound to head for Japan after Matsuyama's historic Masters victory, the first Japanese man to do that. And it was Matsuyama mania, or so we thought, until we spoke to our man, Alan Gibson, as you'll discover. Lloyd Griffith was back, comedian, and Grimsby Town fan was on good form. We talked golf and football with him, amongst other things. And we found out about the closing fixture in the world's smallest football league. We spoke to the star striker of one of the two teams that contests that title every year. So, we had a chat, of course. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Paul, good afternoon, everyone. And the race for the top four is hotting up, but could Spurs be falling away?
You say that. I just love, look, you've watched Jose deflect over the years when he was your coach a couple of times. But I think it was one of his maddest. I mean, first he latched on, he had a pop at the journalist for something they'd not even seen because it happened on telly, the comments that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer made. Why don't you ask me about that? And they're going, what are you talking about, man? Then he started saying cheese is cheese and bread is bread. He's saying, you're all right, Grandad. And then he started saying, I'm glad he's not his father. His father's a better man. And he thought, what are you talking about? It was, look, it was one of his maddest deflection technique post-match press conferences. I'm finding now, I'm not as bothered as I should be, and I don't like that feeling. I should be feeling more bothered. But when you go into each game knowing exactly what you're going to see, you know, the kind of odd selections and the strange substitutions and the very passive second
Dembele,
half.
I thought when the team didn't deserve to go off.
I know. Yeah. There you get. You know, it's just Jose by numbers now. I know exactly what to expect. So there's no thrill of the outcome, which is why you watch football. One thing I would say, look, it should have been a goal. Everybody knows it was a goal. McTominay just put an arm out. Sonny put his hand on him first. So the idea of taking it all the way back there is a fairly shocking moment. But I mean, it all goes back to that thing we've always said, Andy, that every football manager talks self-serving nonsense. And so Ole Gunnar Solskjaer rails about Son going down and saying if he was my little boy, he wouldn't have had any tea. But he has a slightly different attitude towards cheating when Bruno Fernandes is going down winning or trying to win penalties. You may remember one in the FA Cup against Chelsea last year, which was laughable. But of course, he doesn't. I mean, Bruno must go to bed every weekend starving. I mean, really, it's all self-serving nonsense, isn't it, really?
Oh, yeah. What about Maguire? I mean, United really have had the best of VAR in general. It was unusual for them to get at the wrong end of the stick yesterday, but they did, and it was a goal. Chelsea basically were everything they weren't against West Brom. We're going to speak about Palace later. They were so passive in the first half. And at this rate, Kurt Zouma will get more goals than Werner, which is great, isn't it? Well done. What a great buy. Dear.
So look, we are interested to hear from you this afternoon because Son Heung-min, you know, we never know. We're not there. We're not there in his body. You know, let's get a finger in the eye. Have you not seen a Three Stooges film? I mean, they should get the sound effect. If you get a little bit of a finger in the eye, it hurts, doesn't it? And you go down and you think, eye. Yeah, we don't know we don't know about his pain threshold. Whether or not he did national service and was top man for that couple of weeks, his knee there nor there. But he might have felt the pain. So to make him feel better this afternoon, as he puts the old Optrex bath in there, we'd like to hear your tales of you or someone you know being far more hurt than you or anyone else around you thought. They were saying, run it off, mate, run it off, you'll be fine, or just go back to work, stop making a fuss about nothing. So let's make Sonny feel better about himself. Manchester United were very good second half. They were excellent. And it did strike me in terms of team selections, like the idea of you think you'll bring back Eric Dier to play against Cavani when he's hardly played, when you've got Belgium's go-to centre-half not even featuring, is quite staggering, really. I think I don't know what's going to happen to Jose Mourinho at the end of the season, or I doubt if it's going to be any sooner than that. But as I said, the indifference is what's killing us all at the moment. We're not the anger. I think we've gone beyond that. We're just indifferent. We're numb.
It's another result of no fans, because if the fans were in the stadium, the chairman would be hearing how unhappy they are. No question about it. Well, there was an incident in that game, though, when Lloris changed the ball. The ball sort of went away and he needed another ball for the goal kick. And I watched the bloke who picked the old one up and he takes it away for sterilising. You think, how many people have actually been infected by a ball? I bet it's naught. Well, that'd be my guess.
Maybe because they've been so well sterilised, Andy. Possibly that's
I suppose so. It's possibly true. Yeah. It does seem a bit overkill, but there you go. What else have we got here? Oh, Summer Monty's Fulham have had it, let's be honest.
Well, let's be honest, it's not looking good after Friday, is it? No.
No, not good at all. And, this was good. Steve Wheeler has used lockdown, you'll like this one.
Yeah.
I'm sure you read it in The Sun today.
I did.
To clean his collection of 23,000 used milk bottles.
Yeah.
And I thought, bet he's fun to have a pint with, a pint of milk,
obviously. A pint of milk. Or imagine that moment when Steve starts, there were 23,000 milk bottles on the wall. And, imagine that. That would be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
not ideal. And then this reporter was talking about Chelsea against Porto, and he said, where was it here? He said, I can't wait for tomorrow's game. Oh, yes. Next up, the important matter of Champions League jobs to finish off. It's Porto at Stamford Bridge in the second leg. I thought, I hope he doesn't go there. He's going to be a bit disappointed.
Yeah.
It's in Seville.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't worry about it.
I hope somebody sold him a ticket. That's not great.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby here, and Andy Jacobs, of course, on TalkSport. Sun Heung-min has taken a bit of stick, I think, including from the Manchester United manager yesterday, for that they felt maybe making a bit of a meal of the contact from Scott McTominay. Maybe he did. But we're trying to make him feel a bit better today, because sometimes you can be far more hurt than you look. For example, my brother fell off his bike on the way to my house, says Andy. I said, if you've broken anything, you won't be able to move them, so it's definitely not a break. Turns out, despite him whining for a few days, when I took him away and he'd fractured both elbows. Nice one. I'm a first aider at work, says Carl, and a lad came up to me after banging his wrist. I gave it a few rotations and said, it's nothing, just going back to work. Came in next week in a cast after an x-ray showed he'd broken it. See, sometimes you can be far more hurt than you originally looked. Let us know your stories. Some of them are a touch more gruesome than that. TalkSport.com, text 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ. That's TSHANDJ.
That happened to me.
Yes. Why am I you, Andy?
I was playing cricket and I went for a quick single and the bat jammed into the crease.
Yeah.
And I went I went straight into the handle. I went rolled over. The handle went into my collarbone.
Wow.
I was in agony. This Australian bloke comes up to me and he's like, got my arm, and he's going, yeah, you're all right, mate. It's not broken. And of course it was.
Really? Actually, apart from the fact you've broken your collarbone, that does sound quite funny. You're doing like a pole vault over running a quick single and going
exactly
over the handle of the bat. Like you.
Not good.
Sergei Bubka. Anyway, we move on because it's Matsuyama Mania today. Matsuyama Mania. I don't know why they're doing it in a sort of odd New York Italian accent. It seems to work. Maybe it sounds like a special on the menu. But Hideki Matsuyama, of course, won the Masters yesterday. And the sport is huge in Japan, golf. But and he is a massive star. So let's see what they're saying. Let's head there now and speak to the man we often turn to on Japanese sports matters, Alan Gibson. Good afternoon, Alan.
Good evening from Japan.
Yes, I take it the whole day has been Matsuyama crazy, is it? This has been a huge story.
What team does he play for?
Of course.
Yeah, it's funny. It's a funny story because Saturday and Sunday, I'm the football guy, right? And Saturday, Sunday, I was absolutely so busy with the J-League and writing things and watching things, and I had no idea what was going on. And this morning, about 10 to 8 in the Japanese morning, I had this message come from a guy in Scotland. He said, "You watching the golf?" And I was like, "What are you talking about? I don't watch any rugby. The Japanese guy's about to win it." And I turned on the TV, and then it was live. And what was, I had no idea of the context. So I didn't know he had a spare stroke. And I saw him miss the putt just before he scored his put the next one in. So I turned the TV on and I saw him put the ball in. And I thought, oh no, he's missed it. But thankfully he had a spare stroke. So all was good, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, it was perfect for breakfast time TV in Japan. I mean, it must have, not, apart from you, Alan, obviously, but everybody else must have been a huge interest. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, it must have been incredible.
I get the feeling that there are a lot of late people at work this morning, which doesn't happen very often. Since I turned the TV on and watched it, and then I flicked through all the channels, and everybody was going absolutely nuts. And it's basically been on all day long until we hit peak time, and then Japan goes back to crazy comedians eating food that's too hot for them, and going shopping with their kids or something, you know. But after this peak time, in about an hour's time again, I checked all the TV schedules, and it's Matsuyama Mania.
Yeah,
Matsuyama Mania, as you said. At 1 o'clock in the morning, there's a whole, I think it's about a 3.5 hour program that's going to be basically showing the road to that last putt as well. So yes, everybody's gone nuts and everybody's proud to be Japanese and everybody's playing golf.
He sounds like someone who doesn't really sort of court the media, because he said it's helped him. The fact that he hasn't got a sort of posse of Japanese journalists following him around Augusta and wanting quotes has helped him over these last few days, because he said, you know, he finds that quite difficult to cope with, all the adulation.
Yeah, I guess he's he's the first Japanese to win anything ever, basically, in golf, isn't he? But the fact
among
is
the
that,
men, yeah, I think Japanese women have won big titles, but not Japanese men. So yeah,
yeah. So he's not the slim, handsome young man that he was when he first started about 8 or 9 years ago, and he did get followed around a lot then. And I guess basically because he hasn't really been such a star until today, it's sort of worn off a little bit. I mean, he's basically got to be prepared now for when he gets back. He's going to be wanted on every television program, and he's going to be mobbed at the airport. Everybody wearing masks, of course. So it's going to be a complete life changer, I'm sure, isn't it? And that green jacket, he looked so nice in that, didn't he?
I was going to mention that, because it is an iconic thing, and it's something unlike any other competition. If you win, if you win the Champions League, you can't walk around with the trophy, can you?
But you can
walk around with wearing that jacket.
Ostentatious, wouldn't it? Just wondering if going to the barbers with a Champions League trophy. Jordan Henderson taking it everywhere with
going
around Morrison's with it in the front of the trolley. Yeah, it would look a bit weird.
But during the Olympics opening ceremony, you can imagine him wearing it and being the focal point.
I reckon it's going to be the hottest ticket now, Alan, the golf at the Olympics, because they all want to see him and wearing the jacket.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely going to be. I mean, we're still talking about the Olympics being on or off, but it seems to be on now, right, with limited numbers and people being safe and who knows, but it's going to be even more incredible. But apparently he can choose the food for next year, right, at the Masters.
He can, yeah, that's true.
Kobe beef all round, I think.
Yeah, well, that'll go down well. That's a quality cut, isn't it?
People love Japanese food, so I think it'll go well.
Yeah. Just to ask you about, finally, Alan, the Olympics. Last time we spoke to you and your missus, well, certainly she kept shouting in the background, "Tell him it's not going to happen." She was very sceptical. Yeah. I mean, what are you finding now? What's the feeling amongst the Japanese people you speak to? Are they pleased it's happening? Are they still a bit worried about the fact that it's happening?
I think it's basically down to the government just like any other country in the world, who actually likes the government and who agrees with what they do. I think that we've got used to the fact that it is going to happen, and everybody's now hoping that it's going to be safe and everybody's going to be calm. And we're still not sure how many people from each country and whether they'll be allowed in and if they've been vaccinated. And so I think it's very muted. I think Japanese people are very proud to be holding the Olympics, even if it's a year late now and a very muted Olympics, perhaps. But got used to the idea that it's going to happen now. I've shut my wife up and locked the door here. And we got to get used to the fact that it's on, and we're going to make a good job of it, even if it's literally very, very low-key, for want of a better word.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to talk to you as well, then. Thanks very much for joining us.
Pleasure was all yours.
There we are. That's a Japanese sports expert. They're mainly footballers, he admits himself.
Obviously.
Didn't even know the golf was on. Matsuyama mania, apart from in Alan's house where he was watching something else.
Just has to pick the one bloke.
We found one bloke in Japan doesn't like golf. Trust us. Actually, it does take some doing. So there we are. It's Alan Gibson there. Now we're going to be taking you around Europe shortly with Kevin Hatchard. Talking a bit of VAR, where it's less of a problem around Europe than it seems to be here. And Kevin will be telling us why. Dave in Manchester's been in touch. He said, I'm not sure what is the hardest to believe, Max's feeble performance in the birthday spread or the breaking news that Andy has a quality control system. Dave, it was news to me. I think we got the 10 that he had, but apparently not. This from Gary. He says, I was winded, inverted commas, when diving at a forward's feet in a school game some years ago. My daft centre-back hauled me up off the ground and slapped me on the back as he heard that was a great help for a winded person.
Really?
Turns out I'd incurred a cracked rib in the original challenge and his slap broke my rig and punctured my lung, he says. I woke up in A&E, says Gary, the now retired goalkeeper from Manchester. So we're trying to make Sonny feel better about that assault by Scott McTominay yesterday. Left him on the ground for 10 minutes. And we do need this afternoon for you to tell us about those times that you were far more hurt than you or anybody else thought at the time.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, it's all going on at Grimsby Town. Potential takeover. They might be in the Champions League in 5 years. Who knows? We have a very weird sending off. They find themselves at the bottom of League Two. So who better to turn to than our Grimsby Town correspondent, comedian, chorister, goalkeeper extraordinaire, is Lloyd Griffith. Good afternoon, Lloyd.
Good afternoon, lads. How are we?
We're not too bad. Let's start with the exciting news of it's quite bold, isn't it, to come in as a consortium when a team looked sort of destined for non-league. I mean, maybe you think that's the time to pounce.
Well, I think they've been wanting to buy for a long time, but there's a lot of politics involved. And luckily, it seems that in the last 6 months, our current owner wants to sell. So we woke up to the news on Saturday morning of basically them probably going to hopefully take over, touch wood, on the 5th of May. So we're like, oh, this is great. Do you know what I mean? We're unbeaten in eight. Do you know what I mean? We're bottom of the Football League, and that's fine. But Colchester got beat the night before, and Southend and Barrow, we've got a game on Southend. This is going to be great. And then what happened is we lost 1-0, and one of our own players headbutted one of our other players. So it all went out of the window pretty quickly, actually, lads.
Yeah, that was a bit of a shocker. And they tried to get him off the pitch quickly because it's like the referee hadn't noticed, but he actually went into the dressing room, got the player out, and gave him a red card.
I mean, absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? So our day went from incredible to absolute awful in the space of like 7 hours. So, but yeah, it'd be interesting, you know, like the new consortium that are coming in, there's nothing but good news about the two guys, both Grimsby Town fans, businessmen, you know, with an amazing track record of amazing businesses. So I think it's a really, really positive thing. And the stuff that they've been saying about how they want to go forward and make it a community football club. And, you know, there's a lot of positive things. So hopefully, you know, even if we are in the football conference, which it looks like we probably are going to be, at least we're doing it with new people at the helm.
Mm.
Their first move was to bring back Alan Buckley now.
Yes, yes. The Buckley Consortium, which is
Alan Buckley for his 14th stint as Grimsby Town manager.
Yeah.
I noticed that one of the players involved, the bloke who got actually headbutted, was Philippe Moraes. He used to play for Chelsea, didn't he? I remember him in this sort of youth setup. It's the same one, isn't it? Must be.
I think so. Yeah, he was also at Bradford. More importantly, yeah, I think he was at Chelsea early doors. So he was at Bradford. I think maybe about like 4 years ago. So Bradford fans were thinking that he was doing us a favour there by getting one of his own players sent off. But Philip Ray, he's played at a lot of places. I think Grimsby Bradford on Saturday, I think there were four players in the Grimsby squad that used to play for Bradford and four players in the Bradford squad that used to play for Grimsby. It's like a why swap UK in that game. You know, that.
That's amazing.
Now, on your, I just see on your Twitter feed, you, because golf is back, of course, we had the Masters at the weekend.
Yeah.
And it's very good of you to have posted this. It's you on the tee, and I don't know how to put this, maybe Bryson DeChambles. It's,
I think it's a bit harsh because the backswing and the address is good.
If something goes
wrong with the sort of follow through.
And there's a lovely swagger as you turn around knowing you're being filmed and you walk away from the tee. It's that bit like that thing where you trip over a curb and do a little run afterwards. You did kind of carry it off, and I use a football term, with aplomb.
Thank you. I, if I'm honest, I've never heard of the phrase address used in golf. That just shows you how advanced I am. But the thing is, I've got the same club. I'm using the Cobra club, the same club that Bryson DeChambeau uses. So I think that it's just going to go 400 yards straight onto the... Like the hole before, I struck it so sweetly, and I was like, right, lads, come on. Let's get a video of me absolutely tonking this down the fairway. And as you can see from that video, it goes about 4 foot away. But everyone was saying, like, you've got incredible technique. I can't understand how you've hit a shot so badly with what you've done.
Yeah.
And so I think
your backswing's great.
The mechanics, everything's right. The mechanics. It's just you're standing too close to the ball after you've hit it, as they say. Just
I've never had lessons. So this is what's happening next week. I'm going to have lessons. And then hopefully I'll stop. I nearly walked off after about the 13th hole on Friday. I was just done. But it's great to be back on the golf course because it's something that I've massively missed. I'm not sure the golf course has missed me, to be brutally honest. But yeah, it's a game where you just fall in love with it, and I just wanted to go back out the next day, but.
Since we last spoke, Lloyd, I've caught up with Ted Lasso, and I know you've got a little cameo in there as a journalist. And what a wonderful series. It's such a great series. I know they're making a second season, aren't they?
Yeah. So I've been lucky enough to be included in the second series as well. I think I'm allowed to say that. If not, but yeah, so I've been in this week recording the second series. It's an amazing cast. Everyone's so lovely in it. Like Jason, obviously plays Ted Lasso, he's just one of the most welcoming and kind of like helpful people you'd ever work with. Just so thoughtful on set. And it's hard to think, you know, you're on set and he's thinking, this is Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
And he's just being pally, like a Hollywood superstar, and we're just chatting about Grimsby. So it's amazing to be part of, and it's just so nice to see a football sitcom do well because, you know, there's not that, apart from, obviously there's a lot of football on TV, but, you know, there aren't that many football sitcoms on TV, so it's great that this got made and great that it's been so well received.
Yeah, it's excellent. It's a shame. You should have gotten a buy-in after what happened at Wrexham. You should have got Jason to buy it. buy Grimsby.
If you don't think that was my first conversation with Jason.
and the other good news is, finally, you've rescheduled all your tour dates, I see.
Yeah, so back on tour in 2042. September the 1st, I think, is this first date in Birmingham. So this is the rescheduled dates from last year. So looking forward to getting out there. It's been one of the things that I've kind of like really, really struggled with, is not being on tour and not being just doing my job at night time. So obviously, you know, during the day, it's just been the same. Not much, you know, playing golf really badly. But then in the evenings, kind of really missing going out and gigging to the people of the UK. So we're back on tour. I say we, it's me and my Volvo. I'm trying to make it out like I'm some sort of like tour kind of like entourage. It's literally me in my Volvo with probably a number of Ginsters in the passenger seat. Up and down the country. So yeah, quite a few venues sold out already, so if you fancy getting involved, a lot of tickets in Great Torrington and Lyme Regis if anyone wants to bring ideally a coach load, maybe even a football club. If you're looking for a social, give me a shout, I'll sort you out a deal. Back out there,
come on, this come on, Lyme Regis, step up. That's it. Come on, you can do it.
I think we're playing Lyme Regis next season if we get relegated.
You could do the
away day.
Lloyd Griffiths conference tour. That would be good. Yeah. LloydGriffiths.com. You can find him on Twitter, etc. And so, look, good to talk to you, Lloyd. All the best. Thanks for joining us.
You too, guys. Cheers.
Take care.
See you later on.
Lloyd Griffiths there.
Cheers, Lloyd.
An eventful period for his beloved Grimsby Town. And yeah, do recommend Ted Lasso if you've not had a chance to see it. You can get Apple TV. It's a really, really good series. Beautifully written and performed.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
little bit of breaking news. This Saturday's league game between Wolves and Sheffield United has been rearranged from 3 o'clock to 8.15 to avoid a clash with the funeral of Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh. So that game now kicks off 8.15 on Saturday, and we'll wait to see what happens with the Championship, etc. Now, we're still a number of games, of course, here in the EFL and the Premier League, but everything's done and dusted on the Isles of Scilly, St Mary's, where the smallest league in the world, two teams, Garrison Gunners, Wolfpack Wanderers, has been concluded. There was a bit of a hiatus, I think it's fair to say, as was in most football, but it is now done and dusted. And here to tell us more is Will Lethbridge, who plays in the world's smallest league. Will, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gents.
So how long did it take to get this concluded? Have you had a bunch of games since you were able to play again, or was this the one outstanding league match that you had?
So we had one game the previous week. We do actually still have our kind of cup final to come this Sunday, but from the league's point of view, that is concluded. Due to the pandemic, obviously, we had to reduce our number of fixtures. A lot of the players have seasonal jobs here in the Isles of Scilly and can't make the commitments on a Sunday morning. But it made things quite interesting in the sense of it all went down to goal difference. And one game proved to be decisive at the very end.
Fantastic.
And you mentioned the cup there. Who are you playing in the final?
Well, funnily enough, yeah, it's the Garrison Gunners.
I mean, it must be hard to drag out the draw for the cup for half an hour. I mean, as they do on the Beeb. Is it always, do you have the two balls, number one and number two?
Yeah, well, pretty much. I mean, it's always a bit of a debate on which team is the home one and which is the away one. And years ago, I think that we decided that as we were playing on the same pitch, it wasn't really worth it. We do play a league cup that is two legs, but we decided to do away with away goals because, like I said, play on the same pitch, it does seem a bit ridiculous.
Do you ever have visiting teams? Because I'd imagine playing the same team week in, week out would get a bit boring. I don't know, does it?
It does in some respects, but we freshen things up every year because what we do, the way the teams are picked, it kind of is a bit of a throwback to the schoolyard days of two captains who volunteer themselves, players are divvied up into position, and then they flip a coin and take alternate picks. So you're not necessarily playing against the same people exactly year in, year out. It does offer a bit of variety in the sense of our annual transfer system.
I imagined it being some sort of deep-rooted thing where you had to play for one club. You know, no son of mine's going to play for Wolfpack Wanderers. I just imagine you'd have whole generations of people going back saying, never, you'll never be a Garrison Gunner, not while I'm alive. But you just basically all line up and you pick players individually as you go along.
Yeah, but pretty much that's what happens at the beginning of the season, and it kicks off with the Charity Shield, and we have a traditional game on Boxing Day, which unfortunately couldn't take place this year because of the pandemic, where we play it really stemmed out of fathers against sons, but it's an old man's game. So old men be the young men. So I think that the age has kind of dropped down, to be honest, to make it more competitive. So it's 35, I think, now and above. We look forward to that on Boxing Day, fingers crossed, this coming year. But yeah, it was a fantastic end to the season. The Wolfpack Wanderers, the team I played for, can't say I did a huge amount on the day. We ended up winning the league with a win, our first win in 6 months. So that kind of sums up as well how ridiculous it all is at times.
So is it always close, or is there certain years where one team just runs away with it?
It has done in the past, but normally it's pretty even. And that's one of the reasons why the teams are picked the way they are, is because it does ensure that it is relatively fair. You do tend to have one team at the beginning, which was the Wanderers this year, that went on and had a good run to start with. And then the Gunners came chasing back and reduced the points difference to nothing. And only a few early goals at the beginning of the season was what gave the Wanderers the league going into the final league game, which they were ultimately able to win.
What's the history of the fixtures then, Will? How long's this been happening, these games between the two teams? And where do the names of the teams come from?
So football in the Isles of Scilly goes back many years. Probably we're talking the best part of 100 years. And originally there were teams on all five inhabited islands. Over the years, unfortunately, it has ended up being reduced down to just the two teams based on St Mary's. We are registered with the FA as the St Mary's Football Club. But we do have players who come from the other islands. And it was originally, I think, the Rangers and the Wanderers, and that ultimately changed to the Gunners and the Wanderers. The Wolpack Wanderers comes from the Wolpack Battery, which is an armed former military settlement on the garrison. And the garrison, obviously, is a large part of St Mary's kind of fortified area.
Are you a native of the island, or have you moved?
I grew up over here and moved away. I lived in London. I spent a bit of time in Australia. Spent some time in Cornwall, and yeah, I've ended up back here, and I've been here for a few years now. And it's lovely just getting back playing football again with everyone. Kind of you pick up where you left off, really.
So, if your team get a new kit, are the other team jealous? Do they have to have a new kit as well, or how does it?
They bring out a new one every year.
Away, have you got an away strip?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have an away strip. We tend to get, because like I said, we are technically registered as the one football club. We all sort out kits as and when, but we don't normally get a new one every year. We tend to last 2 or 3 years. And yeah.
Do you know what the record victory is? Sorry, Will, we just lost your line there. Do you know what the record victory is for the fixture?
I can't off the top of my head. I'd have to dig deep in the archives. I do remember, though, a couple of years back, we did have a 6-1.
Oh, OK.
So occasionally, and sometimes in the young men the old men games, it can be a little bit one-sided. But I think the biggest win the Wanderers had this year was 4-0. But a large number of the games have been pretty close. A lot of 2-1s and 1-0s. There haven't been that many cricket scores this year.
And do you ever go on tour? Are you kind of the two teams ever sort of get head onto the mainland and tour now and again?
We have done in the past, and it's something that hasn't been done probably for the last 4 or 5 years. But obviously, with the easing of restrictions, and hopefully this is at the last of the lockdowns we're coming out of, it's something I think we'd be really keen to do. We've played teams in Cornwall in the past. Obviously, it does take a fair bit of organising to do, and involves people obviously taking time off work. But I think it's something that we may very well look into, possibly, who knows, maybe even the autumn of this year. Probably more likely, though, the spring of next year.
Fantastic. Look, well, good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure speaking with you both as well.
There we are. This the Wanderers' very own Will Lethbridge, their star striker, one of the players who plays in the world's smallest football league.
It's good. It's fun.
Yeah, good idea. But you would get, I mean, I think it's, if you're going to, you would get bored just playing the same players. It's a shame, though, there's not kind of inbuilt generational grudges around the two teams.
The fact that you can play for both teams, that's no good.
It does. Anyway, but good stuff. It's still out there and it's still going strong.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
It is Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. And still to come, Kevin Day will be joining us. We're going to talk a bit of Palace and more. Wilf playing angry, quite noticeably the other day.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Falling out with, not quite doing a Grimsby and sticking the nut on one of them, but certainly verbally jousting with a number of his teammates. Andy, is there anything else you want to share with the class before
yes,
we
yes, I've
on?
Got this week's columnist fodder. That's where I look at somebody's column and they just write something in words for the sake of words. This week, why do my children find me so annoying? You think, well, all children find their parents annoying. What's the point? You're no different to anybody else. And actually, I don't know if you've seen... Oh, yes. Mikel Arteta. There's a lovely headline. He says, defence is tighter since I took over. We just need to stop making silly mistakes. Well, it's not tighter then, is it? If they're making silly mistakes, it's not tighter.
No.
That's the whole point, but don't worry about it. And I don't know if you've seen this. Steve Davis retweeted this. An edit of a frame that he played in 1987 with George Best.
Wow.
I've never seen it before. It's an absolutely brilliant bit of footage if you get the chance to see it.
Is
so
it?
It's well worth watching.
I'll go and check it out. Did he win? Well, I don't want to spoil it. You know,
Bestie
won.
Bestie did well, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll go and check that out. We've been keeping you in touch with Paul Gascoigne on Italian I'm a Celebrity. You may recall last time we mentioned him, he injured himself. He injured his shoulder, dislocated it. So he's now longer... He's no longer taking part in the physical challenges.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah.
But
he is
still involved in the... He's still going down a storm, apparently. I think it's been good for him, and he's gone
so
down
for a while. To get injured, though.
Yeah,
really,
he's a bit dislocating the shoulder. But he's 53 now, for goodness sake, these sort of things. But he's getting involved in other stuff, and he sounds like he's been a bit of a star of it. So as long as he's all enjoying it, well done to him.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.